Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about disruptive technologies. Now, this is going to be a quick podcast while driving. Now, what's happened is that I'm writing up a research paper and also putting together circuits and doing stuff, so I'm getting less time during the day for dedicated slabs of podcasting. And also my battery just ran out of my little podcasting machine, so it's a little slow, and I've just got a very few quick things to do here. So, disruptive technologies. Everyone thinks, oh, Internet of Things or big data or perhaps, and of course I'm looking at this project, which is basically a bespoke Internet of Things for the classroom. So, you know, it's Internet of Things, look what it can do if you actually start to integrate this technology together. Nine powerful sensors all in one package, give it to a student, and they put in the sensor and see the value instantly on the internet. You know, it's live and they can do all that type of stuff. So that being classed of doing something different and in the Internet of Things, that immediately when you Google search that, you get this idea of disruptive technology. Now, the major thing is that you don't want to sell a disruptive technology to an existing customer. There's the last thing that people want to hear. And indeed, look, this is going to be a bit of a torch here. I'm driving up here. What is a disruptive technology? So the Internet of Things is something very critical. It's disruptive. It's we haven't seen this before. And essentially, this is called M2M, machine to machine, B2B, business to business, machine to machine communication. Essentially, machines put out data on the internet. Now, obviously, if I invest so many watts, they cost such money, I don't do anything for free. What is the value? So there's the value of the information that this puts out. Now, in this case, it's an educational value. In general, I have a value of information. Well, I'm a person on the internet, this information, and then I can exchange information, like information is actually money, digital currency, and place in an order and that actuates. So there's a value in here. So there's value in that. This is M2M. This is the Internet of Things. So the major thing with the Internet of Things is that machines are pretty good, because machines tend to have a power supply on them all the time. They tend to only say certain things, and you can give it a program and that's it. You don't have to rely, you don't have to do the psychology. And so, remarkably, there's 50 billion machines which are now internet-enabled, and that's for every person on the planet. There are 6 machines which are on the internet, and there's going to be major upgrades, because as it's one of these things where the costs come down because it's so ubiquitous and so cheap, there's differential. So if I have a machine and I want to give it a plus, it's a low-cost upgrade. So it means that I wire in one chip, I can now wire in a second chip, and it's the same, but I can rebadge it. And, you know, this toaster now speaks to the internet, and it will now monitor your toast, look on toast and recipes. It will actually tell you when it needs to be cleaned, and in effect that this small chip is going to add to the lifespan of your toaster immeasurably. It's going to your house is not going to burn down, people are not going to pay the same insurance, but there's going to be a whole lot of things for the information. And then also you'll be going to resell. Yeah, so you want another toaster, someone will know you've got this toaster, they know the history of the toaster, they can resell. Now, this sounds stupid, but in a car, most of the low cost of the value of the car is that we don't know about the car. Now, once you start to put knowledge, the value of that knowledge can really, really value. Now, this, of course, is not the Internet of Things, and we'll have a little bit of a talk about what disruptive technology is, but at the moment I'm going into a mate's place and see if I've got a package. Okay, the plot thickens. I've got a page to pick up at the post office. Now, just really quickly, I was installing pH meters. I inverted to have a look at it, and I'd forgotten that I was holding the little container, and that I lost the pH meter potassium chloride. Now, they charge an arm and length for just potassium chloride, and a fungicide, you put that, that's basically what you put in with the glass, so, and so your pH meter doesn't last unless you have it. So I've purchased that, and of course, being a liquid, they just won't leave it. You know, chemicals, they just don't work, they don't leave chemicals at a house, so I picked that up. Yeah, look, disruptive technology, let's go across. I think, you know, people saying, is disruptive technology, it's got to be new, blah, blah, blah. It's got to be unexpected. What I'd say is it's got to be unexpected, and it's got to mean that the status quo has changed. People who were banking on it not happening just have to eventually accept that it has happened. So let's look at disruptive technology. I would say the Romans coming up into Gaul was disruptive. The Gauls had a plan of the Romans not being there. The Romans had a plan. So it's not really technology, but it is a disruption. Then you'd probably have Uber. So there's a technology. Technology is sitting in the background, but it's not the source of the disruption. Is a behavioural thing, and this is people having to change behaviour after the fact. Now, this Internet of Things, if you tell us about it and we prepare for it, and it's going to be disruptive for a few people, but not majority of people, and if it's marketed for and planned for. So it's not really disruptive. So, say, print, digital print media as opposed to typesetting, or I suppose cars versus horses. It's really the scale and the time which it comes along. But often, if people are trained, say, I know people who worked for Murdoch, you know, the famous Aussie person who runs Fox News and controls the world, so to speak, through News Corporation, some of that. He introduced digital media in South Australia, and people who had jobs as typesetters all their lives suddenly were without a work. So it's that sort of disruption. It's sort of a disruptive media would be someone visiting your, oh my God, visiting your say, if your mother-in-law suddenly turns up on your doorstep and you haven't got any food, that's disruptive. And you're going out to dinner, it's a disruption. However, if she tells you months in advance that she's coming and you can prepare, it's the same, it's not as disruptive. So there's shades of disruption. And the fact that that I have this particular technology here that I've got on offer, it's not really disruptive. How do I say? Well, it is disruptive in a certain way, in terms of if you are used to slamming the door on disruptions. So if you've become disruption proof, so I think education as an industry is disruption proof. New technology can get slowed down, pared down, delayed, explained, finance planned for, such a way that it's actually not very, very disruptive in the way you go through. Yeah, so disruption really, sort of the other side of the coin is, are you prepared for, or is it going to create a new form of behaviour? And in essence, the aim of this technology is to be counter-disruptive, that is, to get in there and you don't have to do things. It's very various things. So you have this box, and instead of having to plug it in, it's already battery-powered. Instead of having to get the data is already published. So it's got the number of steps through it. So it's, in essence, people have often touted things for the classroom as disruptive. So the whiteboard will change the way we do things. And in the way pans out is that that education is disruption proof. It just doesn't respond well to disruptions. It just takes the disruption on very, very, very slowly. So in a sense, education is used to people phoning up, knocking on the door, telling it things to do, and it's bound to sort of focus on what it does. Now, in a sense, that this is disruptively not disruptive. That is, education has really sort of developed a thick skill, a thick skin for disruption. Here we go. Come on. A thick skin for disruption. And so I'm just going to have to park in here. I'll be with you soon. And so if you... this is a disruptive technology. That is, it's technically as disruptive as the next technology, but its implementation is disruptive. So it is disruptively disruptive. It's disruptively... I'll get on to it. I know what I'm saying about it, because I've had to write a research paper and actually hone in on the nuts and bolts of it. Be back in a second, as far as you're concerned. Okay, back again on disruption as I took my handbrake and stuff like that, go to reverse. Yeah, disruption means you were doing something and it doesn't happen again, and then disruption can be, therefore, works for certain groups of people. So I've just had my batteries run fat on the dictaphone, and so if I had I built my thing up about always supplying dictaphone batteries to people, and then someone came up with a dictaphone which never ran out of batteries, that would be disrupted, but only for me, and only if I couldn't see it happening and stuff like that. You could imagine the police come in and disrupt a criminal gang. So the criminal gang has got a way of thinking. So it's disruption is a habit thing. And technology is, people understand that the technology is coming. It's a major change is coming through on it. So this has obviously got elements of disruptive technology. It's sort of, when you really come to think of research, the goal of research is to find something so much that it actually changes, worthwhile, it's highly valued. So because it's got so much import, it's important. It is important because it can disrupt and go through. So how is this little box disruptive? Well, the box itself is not disruptive because it basically takes the lowest... Well, it's disruptive in the sense that people have gone in for the highest components because they're not computer-assisted. So it's got an ability to actually use cheaper components, but use them well, cheaper components well, in an integrated package. So that's a little bit disruptive. But where it's really disruptive is that your standard marketing route to market is a... is a business to business, i.e. there's a supplier and it supplies the school as a business. And so sort of like inkjet cartridges, or toner cartridges, people have established that you buy the printer, but you've got to buy these other parts. You have the school, but you have to buy these things, and you've got... You're given pots of money, and you have to spend it. Or quite frankly, in a school, if you don't spend it as a science department, it goes to a history department. So there's a need, a force to spend. So what's gone across here? Now, where this is disruptive is that it no longer requires a purchase order or company. You can actually just go to the website, see how it's built, build it yourself, and there you are. There's no... there's going to be a niche, a sub-niche of people who don't have the time or the expertise or want its maintenance or supplied or various things supplied or built for it. But the actual disruption there is that compared to... So it's disruptive for other suppliers or people who don't want to adopt the fact. Now, the adoption of technology is... Oh, sorry, I'm not going to go there. So I realise I have to go into and book to pick up a package. I'm going all over the place. So this is disruptive, not in the, well, in that fact that it's actually going the opposite direction of technology. It's actually using the smarts to make good on really poor quality components, you know, poor quality components. So it's actually saying, well, we understand there's a premium market for these problems solved, but we're actually going to use, say for instance, I've now sort of realized that different load cells with the epoxy in them, they bend and drift. You know, it's accurate to a microgram, a microgram, but the accuracy drifts off unless you recalibrate it. Now, unless you have these epoxyless load cells, and they don't drift. So you could pay a large amount of money for one of these load cells, or you could just have little servos which lift the equipment up, allow it to recalibrate, and off you go. You know, so it's disruptive in that sense. It's also disruptive in the sense that you're no longer requiring a business-to-business validation, finance across a cycle. So students, when they hear of it, instead of building a robot in a robot competition, they build one of these as warm-up, as integration to warm. It's part of the learning process. It's part of the general learning process in which they learn about Arduino, learn about this in the structure of a school project, and lo and behold, the other idea is that it is sort of very rare that people, when they have to buy, they don't just sort of they buy one; they have to buy enough for a class set or enough. You've got about five of it, or three, or whatever it is. Sets for all the students to use, and this is slightly different, because what can happen is that a student, come on, hello, thank you, so I'm just turning the corner here, so I'm going to stop this soon. So when you think of it, the actual, if disruption is the technology, this is actually using technology, because this disruption is enabled by technology. So the Romans invading the Gaul, they had the technology of writing, communication, roads, structure. They had a sort of a social technology. Uber, there is a little bit of technology there in terms of, once it's very much typically saying, look, I've got this equipment here, how can I use it? Now, it's not just the road itself was disruptive. It was the psychological realization that with a road, with this, and it may not be explicit. Now, what's the difference here is that this technology is disruptive. Yes, I'm now measuring digitally, but I'm now able to measure at a lower cost and stuff like that. Now, of course, the Romans, how they made roads? They made roads with slaves. And so, it's part of that technology coming up here. Come on. Oh, you bastard. Sorry, I'm just looking at this. This is supposed to be Glenbrook, sleepy Glenbrook, and it's absolutely chock-a-block full of, it's just this insane place. There's no car parks here. I'm going mad. So put this away, and I hope people can quite understand what I'm saying here. Oh, no. Gosh. This is, I've got to actually go, there's a little post office here in Glenbrook, the village of Glenbrook, and you think that this is the apocalypse. I don't know why there's so many people parked around here. It's really difficult to find here. So there are occasional parks, you think there are parks, but in general, when it's a gap, there's a little driveway in the way. I'm just going to go up around here just to make sure that it's... to get around here. And there's sort of little creeks and gullies going through. So Glenbrook's on this, in a hidden valley with a gorge, and it's sort of still protected, and it's got all this stuff going on. Yeah, I'll be able to get up here. Yes, I think I'll just go over here. Yeah, so there's all this this happening here. So it is disruptive, but in a complex way. Now, the issue for me is to be able to actually sort of in discussion set up what the idea of disruption is, and technology, a few examples, and then make an argument that this is disruptive, because essentially the aim of research is to find a new aspect that has not been seen before, a potential disruption. That is, everybody thought this, but now I've missed that. So it's this is how to say it in terms of research scientists are in a wave of disruption. That's where they are. They surf on disruption. Whereas, so if you imagine research scientists are more surfers, whereas the people are more tourist boat operators, and they want to talk about surfs, but they want to keep a very stable boat to make sure the waves don't break or do anything. And this is sort of like sort of getting inside where people sort of start downloading their own information. It's sort of like, it's very much the internet thing. It's using the internet and knowledge. You know, what is necessary to make this? Is it components? Not really. It is the knowledge and the know-how to do it. Okay, thanks a lot for listening. I'll get on to my next adventure. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.